And I just want to tell you how we can hopefully work together to make the best use of this software so we can make it as high quality a call and high quality audio for you all, as well as make it as interactive as possible. As you can see, hopefully on your screen now, it's showing some notes I've prepared for the call, and there are two steps, two ways you can interact, and one is to raise your hand, which there should be a little icon in your menu box on the right side of your screen, and all you have to do to get attention is to raise your hand, and when you do that, that signals to us or to Jessica that you're interested in asking a question, and then she can unmute your phone line and you can ask a question. And the way we hope to take advantage of this is after I've answered some of the questions that people emailed in, then I'd like to periodically, every 5-10 minutes or so, open up the floor and take a question from listeners. So if you have a question, simplest thing to do is raise your hand and you can ask it, and Jessica will try to grab the first person who's raised their hand and unmute their line so we can all hear their question. You can also type in your question, send it to chat at the bottom of your panel there where it says go to webinar control panel. There's a little place where you can chat and you can send it to Charlie Cook, organizer and presenter, and I will see the question you have entered in chat, and hopefully I can answer some of those questions that come in that way. So let's just take a little practice here, and if anybody would like to raise their hand and if they have a particular question they would like me to answer at some point in the call, we'll see if we can just make sure we've got the raise the hand function working, and Jessica will pick one person to unmute. Does anybody have a particular question that they weren't able to email in that they'd like answered in this call?
Charlie, Gary Cunningham.
Very good. Can you unmute Gary, and we'll take his question.
Unfortunately, Gary has not yet entered his audio PIN, so I am unable to unmute him.
Okay. Well, that's a good point to make, that if you want to participate, you want to have your calls taken live, you need to enter your audio PIN. And the way to do that is, let's see, if you haven't entered it, it should be right below your access code. It should tell you what your audio PIN is, and you just press pound, your audio PIN, pound again, and it will make your telephone symbol there a dark green, and that will enable you to be unmuted. And I see that Gary Cunningham has just done that, so Jessica can unmute Gary, and we'll hopefully can take his call.
Gary?
Charlie, can you hear me now?
Gary, we can hear you, and it's great, and I'm glad the technology is working. Welcome to the
okay.
call. I'm going to add your question to my list, and it's not going to be at the top, but I'm going to put it in there, and we'll get to it in the call. So tell me what your question is.
Well, thanks. I was sorry, I didn't get the PIN entered on the way in. It's just a little bit of a hang-up trying to get into the meeting. But anyway, so when I got here, I saw the PIN number, got it entered. Listen, what I'm interested in finding out is if you got any comments along the way in your presentation about, you know, how to add more entertainment, more excitement, more pizzazz, more interest to a webinar when you are performing a webinar, and when you're performing a marketing campaign. So, you know, how do you add Walt Disney, Steven Spielberg to your webinars, to your marketing campaigns?
Okay, actually that's a good question, and I'll address it right now. I think you would email that in previously. Sounds familiar?
Yeah, I did.
But I'll go to it right away, and thank you for your call, and I'm going to have Jessica mute you again.
No problem.
Thanks again. So Gary wanted to know how to add more entertainment to a webinar, to a marketing campaign, to make it, you know, my assumption is that, you know, to capture more interest. And I think Gary's on target in one sense, and then I'll address the sense of, you know, in terms of how that needs to be applied. In one sense, Gary understands one of the key things about marketing anything, which is that to get people's attention, you need to be, to a certain degree, entertaining. And then the sort of the three things that I always tell people about their marketing should be entertaining, it should be educational, and it should motivate your prospects to take action, whatever the next action in the sequence of your marketing funnel is, whether it's to contact you or to sign up for a freebie or hopefully to go to your sales page, you know, or to, you know, make an appointment with you, whatever it is, that third item. But the first most important thing about marketing is if it's not a little bit entertaining, at least people are going to just look at it, and even if it applies to them perfectly, they're going to snooze over it and pass it by. So the question is, what can you do to make your marketing more entertaining? Well, I think, you know, one of the keys is we'd all like to be, you know, as exciting and as fascinating as the Disney movie, but we have to realize that companies like Disney and many companies like that spend hundreds of millions of dollars on their marketing. So, you know, when you see an ad on TV that you really think is funny or exciting, chances are they spent, you know, $10 or $20 million or, you know, paying for that slot to appear a number of times, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks. And very few people, very few small business owners have the money to spend that kind of money to make, you know, hire whole creative staff and make their marketing extremely entertaining. So what can you do? You tell stories. Dig into your, you know, experience and pull out the stories that come from your life that can help your marketing, help your prospects resonate with you and your experience, and just even if it's connecting with the day-to-day experience you have in your life and the day-to-day funny things that you come across in your life that apply to the problems that they're trying to solve. And that's one way of just, you know, taking what you may think is normal life, but looking at the funny things that happen to us and bringing those to bear, and even just bringing your personal experiences to bear and bring those into your marketing. So you want to personalize your marketing so it's not boring, but so your people are not only connecting with the problem that you hopefully can help them solve, but with you as a person. And I know I didn't, you know, give you the ultimate solution how to instantly make your marketing entertaining as Disney is, but the key is to make it more conversational and more personal, and that will get you halfway there and accomplish the biggest goal, which is to help build a relationship with your prospects. I'm going to go to the top of my list now in terms of the questions that people submitted, and I just want to, before we get in, I just want to review for people who just joined the call what we just did there so everybody can participate as well, which is, again, if you want to ask a question, you just raise your hand, and if it's at a point in the process where I can take questions, Jessica will unmute your line or one of the people's lines who's raised their hands, and they'll take your question live just like we did for Gary. And if you want to be considered to have your question answered live, you have to make sure you've entered your audio PIN. Or, again, you can type in a question and hopefully I'll get to it, but that requires a little bit of multitasking on my part. But just add your question to the chat, send it to Charlie Cook, organizer and presenter. So, again, I just want to thank everybody who did submit questions earlier on. And what I've done is I've taken the questions that were submitted earlier and I've organized them into groupings because there were a number of questions that were sort of about similar topics and it made sense to answer them together. So the format we're going to use for this is I'm going to go through the group of questions and provide an answer, and then we'll open up the floor, take one question from the floor, and if there's any follow-up questions that people want to ask. So, getting things done. Dan Reisberg sent in this small little question. If I were America's self-employment czar, what would I do in the next 30 days to start reducing the 10% unemployment rate with a 1% increase in self-employment? I'm glad Jan isn't asking much, but I'll see if I can answer that. And it seemed that Scott's question that follows was in a similar category to me, which is, for someone who wears all the hats, what would be a fail-safe method for always getting in my sales calls and marketing done? And just before I answer it, I just want to, you know, preface it with a quote from one of my favorite writers, advertising experts, is a guy named Roy Williams, and he wrote this, I think 11, 12 years ago, he wrote this. Lately, I've noticed that you and I are both so busy attending to the merely urgent that we have not time for the truly important. And it's not just you and me, it's all of America. The whole country seems to be plunging headlong into the future without so much as a roadmap sketched on the back of a napkin. And the reason I brought that up is because the biggest issue in terms of small businesses, in terms of all of us, you know, who are entrepreneurs, is that most people are not making the best use of their time. Everybody's busy, but being busy doesn't mean you're generating the leads, generating the sales, maximizing your profit. So the first thing I want people to commit to doing, you know, if I was the czar, would be to commit to making better use of their time, making the simple changes that could free up potentially 20 hours a week and get more done. And I'll give you some resources on how to get this done in just a minute. And make a plan based on what works. I talk to small business owners all the time who are spending money on things like Yellow Pages. Nobody reads the Yellow Pages anymore. We've got to stop wasting time and money on strategies that don't make the money. Or they have, you know, they've spent money, $35,000 on a website. It's not working. Well, if it's not working, don't necessarily, doesn't mean you have to get rid of it, but take that as a red flag that it means you need to do something better with it. Find out what works. There are simple strategies, simple ways to get results with your marketing, with a website, with your online, with your offline marketing. And the key to being more successful is to stop wasting time and money and then to track the results. So, for example, you know, if you do cold calling, if you have a website, track your conversion rates. Then experiment regularly on different strategies to see what will improve your conversion rates. Be systematic about your marketing. And that's the fastest way to quickly turn around your marketing. You can turn around the economy. If people start actually, you know, A, making better use of their time, B, doing what worked, and tracking their results. And you know, the one other quick concept I'm going to throw in there is that I think most people, if you ask them, you know, what got us into the financial mess we're in, would say that greed was the factor. I think President Bush said that. I think Obama said that. Every person from every side of the political spectrum would agree that that greed was part of the problem. So the issue is, if greed was part of the problem, people need to stop looking at greed as the solution and look to what is the solution. And the solution is very simple. People who focus on clearly understanding and identifying what their prospects want and giving it to them tend to do very well. The people who focus in on the just making the next sale and convincing people to buy their products and services tend to struggle. So if you adopt a simple model of focused on helping others succeed, you'll be much more successful. They'll be less, you know, afraid of dealing with you, and they won't smell a salesman coming down the road from a mile away. They'll smell a friend and somebody who wants to help them be more successful in whatever way your product or service does, and you'll be more successful in turn. So that's my quick answer to how can we turn the country around, how can we make better use of your time, how can you close more sales. I'm going to ask for anybody has any questions about that. We'll just do one follow-up question on that, and then we'll get into some hands-on how-tos in particular areas of marketing. Does anybody have a follow-up question they'd like to ask? Jessica, do we have a follow-up question?
I do not see any hands raised.
Okay. If you don't raise your hands, we can't, we won't, we'll just move on. And that's okay, but I'm sure we'll get into the details here, and I'm sure there'll be much more participation. Oh, I did want to mention, in terms of getting things done, the three resources I want to recommend. One is, if you're looking for hands-on tools, the Insiders Club provides a whole set of hands-on tools that I've developed, advice from experts in all areas of marketing, and you can get that at marketingforsuccess.com/IC login. There are two other great resources I'd recommend. One is by a person named Robert Allen, Getting Things Done, and the other is by Dave Crenshaw, The Myth of Multitasking. If you take a look at The Myth of Multitasking, typically if you apply Dave's strategies, you can free up literally up to 20 hours a week by reducing wasted time by inefficient strategies for using your time that you may have already. If you apply Dave's ideas, it's amazing how much time you can free up and how much more productive you can be, and you'll have time to get all those sales calls in that you need to make during the week. Okay, moving on. The next set of questions that I got were, actually quite a few of these, were about free marketing. A lot of people wanted to know how they can market for free. And I think, you know, one of the biggest myths out there is that marketing needs to cost a lot of money. And the reality is it doesn't. Some of the most effective ways you can market your business have nothing to do with spending money. They have to do with applying a few simple systems and strategies. I'll give you a couple of examples. One is I had, one client who was struggling back end of the end of 2008, and I showed him how, and though he had a lot of, good customers, he wasn't getting any new business, and he blamed it on the economy. I showed him how to put in place one simple strategy for using referrals, which, the fundamental component of it was asking. Very, very few people have a system for generating referrals, and they don't ask for them. They're happy when they get them, and everybody loves referral business, but I'd say 95% of the people I talk to don't actively go out and seek referrals, and they don't know, and it's partly because they don't know how to ask. So if you're looking for more business, asking for a referral costs you nothing. And the person who I showed this one strategy to, his name was Chris, he used it and within 6 weeks generated 30 new clients. And it cost him, as I said, again, nothing. He ended up having the best year he'd ever had simply by putting one simple referral strategy together. How else can you market for free? You can offer a free report to people. But, chances are you're on my list because you signed up for, my free report, 7 Steps to Attract More Clients. And other than the time I put into writing that report up and putting it on my website, every time someone signs up for that, it costs me nothing. Versus paying with pay-per-click ads or advertising or doing direct mailings, and all of which can cost money. Using a freebie to generate business costs essentially nothing other than your time involved in putting it together. I can go on and on about all the different ways that you can market your business for free. And if there's one thing that you should take away from this call, is that free is the new model for doing business. If you want to get people's attention, you want to start to build a relationship with them, the best way is to start with something that's free or almost free. And if you're on this list, I'm sure you'll be getting my latest report, which will be coming out in a couple of weeks, which details more ways to do that. But the networking, asking for referrals, providing things for free is a great way to bring people to you without having to spend a lot of money on advertising. Let me see. There was a question about credibility. And the reason I included that in there was because the second part of moving people into your marketing funnel is that once you've given them an offer, something compelling that's of interest to them and related to your product or service, you obviously want to establish your credibility. And that just by giving them that report, series of videos, or a workshop or whatever you provide for free, it instantly establishes your credibility. The other thing you can do for free is, I think Chris, as I recall, is an aspiring copywriter, wanted to know how you get started. One of the best ways to get started in any business is to offer your service for free to a few people. Yes, it's going to cost you a little time, maybe it costs you, a few dollars, but it helps you build a track record and a set of people who will then refer you on to other people, and hopefully a set of testimonials. So one of the, you know, if you're a copywriter and you want to get going in your copywriter business, offer to write a few sales letters for free. And then, you know, hopefully for some people who've got a good list, and you can then talk about how much money those sales letters made for you, and you're on your way to having a established credentials. Okay, any other questions about free marketing? Please raise your hand if you'd like to ask me a question. Just use the little hand icon there.
And, Charlie?
Yes?
Josephine Botger? Unmute her.
Great, unmute her, and let's take Josephine's question.
Hello, Josephine?
Hello?
Hello, Josephine. Welcome to the call. Do you have a question about free marketing? Not sure we have a good connection with Josephine. Why don't you try unmuting another person if they have a question? I see somebody else has raised their hand. Please unmute the next person.
I did not see any other questions other than Josephine.
Okay. Josephine, can you hear me? Yep. Yes. Oh.
She needs to enter her audio PIN so we can unmute her.
She needs to enter her audio PIN to be able to participate. I guess we'll move on. We'll come back. If Josephine's able to enter audio PIN, we can put her into the call in a minute. So anybody have any other questions about how to market their business for free? If not, I see.
Betty.
Betty.
How do you know which person to do free service for?
Tell me about your business. What do you market?
Well, I'm in consulting, independent consulting business, but you mentioned that for Chris, he could do some copywriting for free.
Right.
I mean, is there some formula on who you might give some free service to so you can get referral?
Well, there are a couple of ideas. One, you can use it as in a way of bartering. So let's say, I'll tell you an example. There was one point in my career I was looking for someone to take over the SEO work on my site because I was tired of doing it, and I knew I could help them increase their conversion rates, and they weren't having a very good, you know, much luck generating leads with their site, you know, which is, you think it's so funny, everybody thinks traffic is everything, but in fact, it's conversion that's everything. And so I agreed to help them with their conversion rates if they agreed to do my SEO work for me. So that's one case where you can barter things for free. The other is, if, you know, the more high-profile a person you can get to agree to do work for, the better, because then in the increased recognition there'll be when you have finished the work for them. Or somebody who's got, you know, who you think you can provide the greatest benefit to, that's a good person to do free work for, because then you can, you know, at the end, hopefully, you know, once you've shown them how they can grow their business, if that's what you do, then you can talk about helping them make millions instead of helping them make a few hundred dollars. Does that answer
your question? Great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for participating, Betty. Okay. So we'll go on to a few other questions people have sent in advance here. Monica, I think maybe on the call, asked this question, which is an interesting one. Which is, she asked, I noticed that in your blogs and CD, you continually promote others, or bring in others in other areas of expertise, and how do I position myself to people so they don't leave me to follow someone else I interviewed or blogged? And it's a good question, because I think a lot of people are so focused on growing their business, they begin to feel that if they mention anybody else, or send somebody to their competition, that it's a bad thing. And the reality is that for most of us, there's a match between customer and provider that is based on personal preference. People make their decisions based on emotion, And whether they pick you or they pick somebody else is really based more on your personality and how satisfied they are with you as compared to somebody else. So I can promote other people all day long, and it really doesn't hurt me. It only helps me because if somebody's bought one of my books on marketing, my hope is they're going to go buy the people's books on marketing that I recommend, because anybody who's interested in marketing typically buys, more than one book on marketing. They want to know a lot about marketing. And then if they're really interested, they're going to need the niche information they're going to get from somebody in SEO or social media or copywriting, who I'm going to connect them with. And it doesn't diminish my connection to that person, because the people who I help see there's a greater benefit in knowing one person who has all the good contacts out there in marketing than knowing just one person in one niche area. So in a way, it doesn't hurt me at all. So it's sort of like, saying, should you, if you have a friend, should you only invite them to your house over by themselves, or should you invite them over to a house when there's a party of all your best friends there? Well, if you bring them when all of your best friends are, they can meet all your friends, they're not going to like you any less. They're going to like you more. And that's the basic concept behind my approach to my site and my business, is that the more varying areas of expertise that I can provide to my subscribers, the more that I can help them, the more that they'll want to stick with me. That's actually an important point, and if anybody has any follow-up questions about that right now, they'd like to ask. But should you market just yourself, or should you provide a bigger tent and market yourself in conjunction with other people? Any questions on that? Okay, I'm not seeing any, so we'll move on. The other questions we had about here were about marketing strategy, people are saying, what has happened to a lot of people is my business is down. What do I do to develop a marketing plan that's dynamic and adaptable and works? And what can small business owners do to think outside the box and grow their business in a tough economy? And then there was another one. I'll get to Ron's in a second. So the first two questions, if your business is down, if you suffered last year, or even if you're just stagnating, what's the solution? Well, the first thing you need to realize is that times have changed. You can't just hang out your shingle and hope that with less cash on hand, people more skeptical than they were, and people buying less, that you're going to be able to generate the same number of sales that you used to be. You have to rethink your marketing, which is one of the reasons I've been working on this report that will come out in January, which outlines the new profit rules, the new ways to make money in this economy. And that will be coming, but in the meantime, the main thing is to stop, if what you're doing isn't working, it's not generating the leads you want, it's not generating the sales you want, then find out who has the system, who knows how to do that, and get their advice and follow it. There are a handful of good people out there who know what they're doing, and of course, I think you all should buy, all the manuals that I have, but the key is to go find someone who has a proven strategy and use it, and stop using the strategy which has resulted in the 25% reduction in sales that you had last year. And I don't mean to brag, and that's not my intent here at all, but last year was not my best, but my business only grew 15 to 20% versus the year before in 2008 when it grew 150%. And that happened not just because of luck or circumstance, it happened because I had a deliberate strategy which increased the number of joint venture partnerships, which I had, and brought me in more prospects and clients. And there isn't anybody out there who probably couldn't have done the exact same thing and done just as well. So if you want to grow your business, find a strategy that works and apply that one strategy and stop shooting in the dark. And the reason I included Ron's question here about what media in general has the best return on investment is somewhat related, which is the answer is that every media can be successful if used well, and none of it will work for you if you don't use it well. And the key to using it well, of course, is in having good copy, which is I include the link to the copywriting manual here. But in terms of marketing strategy, before we move on, does anybody have a question about marketing strategy? Just hit that hand icon, and Jessica will unmute you, and you'll be live on the call.
I do not see anyone with their hand raised.
Okay. A lot of other questions. I'll move on. If you've got a question you'd like, I see Josephine is trying to get on the line again, and she has her, there, I'll try that. Josephine, can you hear
me? Hey, sorry.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm calling you from Denmark.
Oh, very good. I haven't been there in a long time.
Okay.
It must be dark there.
I'm late.
It must be late.
Yeah, it's very dark and late.
Tell me what your question is.
Jerry, I want to know about how to maximize a conference call. Can you help me with that? Because
yeah.
I'd like to have more done in less time.
How to maximize a conference call with what's the objective? Who are the people who would be on the call?
It's prospects. I work with a network marketing company. So I would like to have I invite prospects to take a look at a business presentation. I want to do it at once.
So if your goal with the call is to take people who are interested, what level of interest do they have?
Yeah, it's like instead of doing a one-on-one presentation, I want to do a group presentation.
Okay, well, the best
maximize
way,
the call.
Best mm-hmm. way that I know of to maximize the conference call is to get participation up front. So get people to send in their questions prior to the call. Ask them the leading question about what they're trying to accomplish, relative to the service or product you provide, and get them to send in their questions. So as you can see here, in this screen, I've already got questions from people. I'm also getting people to ask the questions during the call like you just did. Getting participation and getting people to ask the questions helps you in many ways. One, it makes it more of a dialogue. But two, it helps you understand how to target your marketing based on what people are concerned or interested in.
Well, I already know what they are concerned about.
Okay.
I already know my target market.
Okay, that's great that you know it. But
I already know. When I invite them to take a look.
But the goal is to get them to participate. If they don't participate, it doesn't matter what you know. It doesn't matter how much I know about marketing, but if I don't get people to participate in sending me their ideas and feeling like they're involved, then it's just a monologue.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is to think of ways you can get them to participate before the call, after the call, and during the call.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, I could do that. But the thing is, I've been reading your I've been on your site, and I've got your ebook as well. And I was thinking, if I had a group of people on a conference call, then using the technique with the fear of loss, it could work, right?
It depends what you're trying to sell. I need to move on to the next question so we give other people a chance to participate. But thank you for joining the call.
Okay.
Okay. We've got a lot of other questions, so I just want to cover as many as we can because a lot of good people wrote them in. A number of questions, of course, were about lead generation. And I'm just going to run through some of these quickly. They're kind of fun and interesting and different. Clara sent a question about how to get her executive coach business going, how to get her first 5 paying clients. I'm going to the same answer applies as I said earlier, which is find 5 people who you think you can really help and offer to coach them for free or for a nominal fee in return for them providing you with a great testimonial. And once you've got those first 5 testimonials and you've got those people providing referrals to you, your business will be up and running. Brian had a great question about he's trying to build his web store, which is Antique Trailer Supply, and he wanted to know what are 3 good ways to promote his store. Well, the thing that quickly occurred to me is anybody who's interested in antique tractor is an aficionado of some sort and actually have a client who lives in the Midwest, and he and his son travel around the Midwest to the various fairs that just feature antique trailers. And it's not something I know anything about, but that a free newsletter sharing tips and information about antique trailers would be a great way to promote your site. You start to build interest, get people to come to your site, learn about it. You write a handful of articles about antique trailers, you know, how, you know, the best ways to refurbish your where parts, how to make parts, et cetera. You provide the information, provide the content, which is going to attract your target market. So that, you know, that's one free way. And, you know, with articles, one of the free ways, you offer a free newsletter, you offer a free report, or you offer a free teleseminar. All good, you know, things free, which you're going to get your area of interest to your site. This was, you know, of course, I know what Duane explained. He said my biggest problem is developing marketing kits to send out to corporate offices. What are some materials I should provide? Well, personally, I'm not a fan of marketing kits. I'm a fan of trying to provide people with information that they'd be of interest. So instead of sending a marketing kit, I would send people a series of white papers that you've written about the problem that they're experiencing that you can help them solve. Don't send them information that's going to try to convince them to buy, but send them information which clarifies a problem and a solution, which is hopefully a solution that you help them with. So the key in sending marketing information is to tell people what to do, but not how to do it. Obviously, they're going to need your services to do the how part. And then Paul had a question about how I identified sea level again. The best way is content. Content rules marketing. It's content that you put up that attracts people. Everybody still focuses on selling. Get folks on help. And earlier I talked about the greed model. If you're bent on the greed, you're obsessed with selling. If you're focused on the help model, you're attracting to so we'll buy products. Obviously, buy any questions about lead generation before we move on? Just raise your hand if you've got a question about lead generation, offline or online. And if you're not asking the question, I'm going to assume that you have as many leads as you want. Okay. No one has a question about lead generation. I'm not seeing any questions there. Are you, Jessica?
I see Josephine again. Let me unmute her.
Hey, Charlie again. I just want to ask about lead generation. How do I get 20 to 30 leads a day to my website?
Tell me what you're giving away, what free content you have on your site. What are you giving away to people that it's going to attract them?
I have a free ebook.
Okay. What else?
I'm giving away. I don't have anything else, only a free ebook.
Okay, you answered your question.
I don't know. Could you give me some ideas around that?
Well, okay. If you look at my site, I have around 1,000 pages of free content and a free ebook.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That attracts a lot of people to my site. So think about what else you
can
give.
Have more than one.
Or if you need a different one that gets generates more interest. Thank you for the question. Anybody else have a question about lead generation?
We have Gary Robinette.
Okay.
Hi there.
Hi there.
Quick question. I'm in the insurance and financial services business, and the leads that we're trying to generate are coming from like a three-letter or a three-postcard campaign or combination of the two. What else would you think might be effective in this?
In the postcard campaign, what are you offering people? What's the offer you're including?
We have free reports that we offer in there as well.
Okay. And what's the conversion rate on your email, your postcard campaign?
Very low. Very low.
I'm going to assume that the report you offer is good quality, it's intelligent, you have good information there, right?
I would think so, yes.
Okay, obviously I'm not looking at it.
Sure.
So there's one bottleneck between the, postcards can work. They're a great way to get the word out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want them to convert, then you need to look at the copy you're using, the words you're using on the postcards. And my guess is the offer is not compelling enough. So if people aren't signing up, on your site or calling you or whatever they need to do to get your report in a high enough frequency, then the offer is not compelling. You haven't clarified the value of the report to your audience.
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to do, I think insurance has become a commoditized product, which it really shouldn't be, but it is. Every ad you see is, we can save you, X amount of dollars in 15 seconds or 15 minutes or whatever it is. And I've taken the route, insurance is not about price, it's about protection. So that's the direction I'm going towards instead of the price. So now I'm thinking, well, should I just do like everybody else and hook them with the price and then start talking about the protection?
Okay. I'm going to go back to the primary message that I gave earlier on in the call. What's the one thing that's going to attract the greatest number of prospects to you is giving them helpful ideas they can use, no matter what you sell. That's step one. That's the bait. That gets people in the door. So if you're focused on selling people, then they're going to throw away your postcard. If they're going to see it as that you're going to help them understand the seven fastest ways that they can maximize their protection and reduce their costs and sleep well at night, mm-hmm. and make sense of all the nonsense there is out there about health insurance as well as other types of insurance,
right.
then you're going to get them to sign up for your report.
Well, like the one report is the seven deadly sins of auto insurance.
Okay. So one of the things is, if you've got a report, is you do some testing. And simple way to test is to go into Google Ads and put up the different titles for your report under, insurance advice or, home insurance or whatever the topic
mm-hmm.
may be.
Right.
And then you see what your click-through rate is for your AdWords campaign, and then you pick the title that gets the highest response rate. And if you're not getting a good response rate, you need to change the title of the report.
Okay.
As simple as that. And it's the same concept that people in the book industry have known for ages, which is they can take a book which is never sold to anybody, and they change the title, and all of a sudden it becomes a bestseller.
Right.
So that's the key. And then you need to clarify with a few bullet points what people are going to get out of reading that book. So and I think a lot of people have difficulty with a simple concept, but even if you're giving away something for free, you need to really tout the benefits, to sell it, in terms of how great it is, so that people are going to feel like they can't live without it. So when you come up with a title that anybody in your target market is going to feel like they're nuts not to instantly want to, log on and download from your site, then you've got a winner.
Okay. Sounds good. Charlie. Thank you.
Thanks for participating. Okay. Let's move on. We're cranking through our time quickly. I just want to address some of the other questions. A lot of people have questions about online lead generation. Again, resources. You can find a lot of resources in the Insiders Club under the category, of course, Internet Marketing. Let's see. A couple questions about SEO, how to track your site. Obviously, one of the easiest ways to track how well your site is doing is to look at where you are relative to the top of the page. And in my book, there's only one place to be, which is you want to be in the top five for your keywords, for the variety of keywords that you're trying to market your site under. And the, Mark Johnson asked the follow-up question, with so many websites competing for top ranking, how do you stay on top or close to it? Well, the reality is there are a lot of people that are competing out there, and yes, the people who've been, have their sites up in maybe your space for a long time and are really active, maybe doing a good job, maybe tough to beat, but most people are not doing concept, very simple things that everybody needs to do, which is, one, keyword optimize your site. Really simple thing. You can have a secretary do it for you, a virtual assistant for you, $200. You can keyword optimize your site depending on how big it is so that the search engines know how to find your site. Second thing you need to do is keep adding fresh content. And a blog is a great way to do that. The blog that we have on our site is one of the primary reasons our site is number one or in the top five for small business marketing, and it's one of the top reasons we generate 150 new subscribers a day. So content is everything on the web once you've done the basic of your basic keyword optimization. Other questions about social media, which you want to address, is a lot of people, social media is the big buzz. People want to know what they should be doing with social media. And in the majority of cases, I would say there's a couple of simple strategies you should do, which you should integrate it with your blog so you're automatically using the plugins that you can use with a WordPress blog. Again, all this is detailed in the Editors Club, so that every time you add a blog post, it updates your Facebook and your Twitter page. Would I spend hours a week on your social media marketing? The answer is no. That's not the place to start. The place to start is with your content, with adding articles and posts to your blog, or getting other people to do it for you, which is obviously what I do if you've looked at my blog. Again, for those who aren't aware, Vincent wrote in that Google has new algorithms called the caffeine algorithm. What's the impact of that? If you use the tools that they provide, you can compare. If you just type in Google caffeine algorithm, you'll find sites which allow you to quickly compare how your site looks under the old Google and under the new Google. And my site does even better under the new Google because of all the content I've added. Content and links to your site that matter. So any quick questions about online lead generation that we can cover in the next few minutes? Anybody want to raise their hand for an online lead generation question? Okay. Jessica, was there any more questions? No.
There are not.
Okay, good. Again, a couple more questions on building your list. How do you build your list? Cole wrote in and said he recently launched their website. They needed to drive people to your company. The one most effective way to get people to your site, if you don't have a lot of content there, if you don't have a really well-established site that's already getting traffic, is to enlist partners. Get other people who can benefit from sending people to your site. Get JV partners, people who've already got a big list, and get them to send people to your site, and obviously there needs to be some kind of fee structure or incentive for them to do so. If you sell a product, that's easy to do. You give people a cut of the sales commission. If you don't sell a product, you can pay them on a per lead basis and figure out what your leads would cost if you had to generate them with AdWords, and you can usually get affiliates to do it for a heck of a lot less. So you get people who overlap with your target market to promote you. Since we're sort of getting towards the end here, feel free, if you've got a question, to raise your hand at any time, and I'll just go through the questions, and hopefully we'll answer some of the ones from people on the call, too. Email marketing. How do I write email autoresponder sales letters? Well, first of all, it's sort of a misnomer. The purpose of email is not to sell. It's a big mistake to think that you're going to try to sell somebody in an email. The biggest purpose of email is to maintain and build a relationship with your prospects and get them to your sales pages or get them to you so you can sell them. But trying to sell in an email typically is a big mistake. If you're looking how to write your autoresponder sequence to do that, again, we've got examples of that up inside the Insider Circle. If they're not there, we'll get them there very soon. But the purpose of your autoresponder sales sequence is to move people to the point where they know you, trust you, and want to do business with you. And what's the best way to get repeat customers back to your site? Obviously, again, you know, autoresponders can be a good thing. You can include articles and tips in, or summary of articles or tips that you have back on your site and point people back to your site, or you can, you know, use your follow-up emails to tell a case, explain a case study, demonstrate an example of how you've helped solve a problem and point people to the solution on the, where the sales pages are on your site. So email is a great way to get people back, obviously, to your site. Drip program, same question, you know, where you start. If you, you, good question, you know, how do you have a drip program, which is basically what a series of autoresponders are or an email newsletter is. It's use the rules that are outlined in Creating Websites to Sell and the whole section about newsletters and the information in the insider circle to put together your personal newsletters, which tell stories, give examples, show how you're the solution provider, and then point them to the appropriate sales pages on your site. Any questions about, basically we sort of run through web marketing in about 5 or 10 minutes here. Any big questions about web marketing before we move on?
Charlie.
Yes.
Jim has a question.
Great. Jim.
Hello.
Hi, Jim. Welcome to the call.
Yes, I've got a question. We sell a product online,
mm-hmm.
and my challenge is to try to create a value for that product before they just go there and just take a look at the price and determine whether you know, whether they're interested or not. I find many people, as we track the pages that they go to, they're just going there, looking at the price, and leaving, and I'm having my website redesigned, but I don't want to make it so that it just takes too long for them to be able to find the price if they're interested in ordering. What's the compromise that I reach there?
Okay, well, there are a couple of things you need to do, and one I didn't hear you talk about, which is the best customer is one who's hungry. So the first thing you need to do is make sure that what you're doing in your emails, your sales copy on the page, is you're creating a huge hunger, huge appetite for your product. And then once you've done that, then you want to clarify all the benefits so they really understand what they're going to, you know, how much better off they're going to be from using your product. And then once you've done that, you want to provide them with a price. And one of the worst things you can do is provide the price too soon. Because if you tell me something costs $10, $5, $1,000, whatever the price may be, it all seems like a lot of money out of context. So the key is to make sure you've clarified the context within which your price exists so that they understand what a great deal it is. And, you know, how to simply do that, I can't, you know, in the time we have available, I can't, you know, get any more finely tuned than that. But it is all explained in creating, writing copy that sells. It's all about the copy you have on your page or the scripts you use for your videos. But thank you for the question. It was a good question. Anybody else have another question about web marketing? Click
Charlie,
on my hand. Yes.
Gary Cunningham has a question.
Oh, great.
Okay, Charlie, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Great. What's your question about web marketing?
Well, it's kind of like that because you're doing web marketing. I'm a little bit curious. Charlie, I've been watching your emails for some time and kind of following you. I'm curious, how did you get into this kind of consulting business yourself? What was your background and experience? And, I mean, you've studied some marketing from some guys along the way. Can you give us a clue about who you've been studying from?
Well, thank you for asking a question that I hope the rest of the audience appreciates, which is allowing me to talk about myself. but the answer is that, let's see, in terms of web marketing, how did I get into web marketing? One of the ways I sort of fell into it, I got to be honest, which is I had built a site and it's a site that I'm embarrassed because it lost me so much money. It was my first website, and you can go take a look at it if you want, but don't hold me to it because I haven't done anything with it in 10 or 15 years. And it's called Newsletter Access, and it was supposed to be a site that helped people who had newsletters with their marketing. And we had a couple of basic problems. One, it had no business model. Two, I had no idea how to get traffic to it. And when I built it, the web designer I had paid enormous amounts to build it for me kept telling me, oh, you know, you'll find it in the search engines. And I kept checking, and I kept finding nothing. And pretty soon I gave up on a web designer, and I went and researched the search engines and discovered, you know, how they work. And I wrote a book on marketing to the search engines and discovered how to, you know, put your site at the top of the search engines and, you know, for a short period of time had a site that ranked and had a business that, you know, was in the SEO business before I decided that was something I didn't want to spend my time doing, you know, on a full-time basis. And then I discovered that I also, before that had been working as a management consultant, just discovered all my colleagues kept calling me for advice about how to market their business. And I discovered I enjoyed marketing their business more than I did actually providing management consulting services. So I went into marketing on an offline basis, and I discovered that all of a sudden I was doing it on an online basis. And the second site I put up was a site that reviewed and ranked, and it was sort of my payback for the search engines, reviewed and ranked search engines, and that I sold for close to $1 million after about 6 months. And from then, that was back over 10 years ago, and I've since been helping people with everything from SEO to online marketing to improving their conversion rates since. So it's sort of, I'm not sure I give you a short answer, but that was basically how I got into it. I hope that answers your question. Okay, we have just time. I just want to run through a few more quick questions that people have sent in, and hopefully we can get to a couple more questions from people who are listening to the call. Well, there's one question actually I'm going to be, in terms of, you know, Diane asked a good question, how do you find a designer to work with you? And the answer is that it's really hard, because one of the issues out there is people in web design are designers. They're not marketers. So if you want to have a website that's going to work for you, first thing you need to realize is that your design firm is not going to build it. There's only about 1 in a million design firms that actually understand marketing. And one of the key concepts to realize is most people have sort of given up on the whole idea of direct marketing, you know, mailing something out and getting a direct response that way. And the reality is that a website is nothing but a direct response marketing vehicle. And if you want it to work, you need to understand or have somebody help you who understands direct response marketing. And most designers' goal is to make your site look nice. And nice is a good thing, but it's not necessarily going to generate you any leads or any business. So the key is, if you want to build a website, first thing you need to do is find out how to build a site and structure it so it maximizes your conversions, and then tell a website designer what you want it to do and hold their feet to the fire so they actually build a site that actually sells. Video marketing. Chris asked a question about it. Good idea, bad idea. Quick summary. Video gets lots of traffic, and YouTube videos are awesome, you know, because there's some out there that is, you know, getting hundreds of thousands of dollars of hits. The challenge with video is that in terms of YouTube, its conversion rate compared to having someone send out an email promoting you is about a 20th to 100th of what it would be. So video does not convert as well in terms of generating leads, but in terms of your site, using video in your sales pages is an excellent idea and does convert. So that's the key thing to remember is, if you want to use video, put together, even if it's just a video slideshow of your products or what's on your site or how to use your site or about you, video does get people's attention on your site. Let's see. Drive people to your site. Best thing to do, we mentioned this already earlier, is if you, you know, a postcard campaign is a great idea, but you've got to have a great offer. You've got to have compelling report that everybody's going to want to get. And so a couple examples of that are there's a guy named David Meerman Scott. If you haven't read his stuff, he's got a report called Viral Marketing. Go download it. Somebody in the Boston area was a dentist, used his approach to write a little report called, I think the title is something like Healthy Mouth, Healthy Sex. She her dental business went from a couple hundred thousand to a million in about 8 months just because she gave away that free report. So coming up with a good free report and using the bloggers and anybody else promoted and or postcards is a great idea. We're kind of running out of time, so I think we're going to – I have some other questions here, but I'd rather run over for a few minutes and just see if anybody else had any other questions they'd like to ask so I can honor the people who are on the call. Anybody have a last question or two they'd like to ask? Hit your raise the hand option there, and you can ask the question. If not, since we're I see Dwight Woods has got a question. Dwight.
Yes, Charlie.
Welcome to the call. What's your question?
Okay. I am very impressed with your entire setup. I mean, not just the structure of it, but the order in which you do everything. So your email sequences, your products, the entire line. Where do I start building such an empire?
Well, tell me what you sell.
Martial art classes.
Martial art classes, okay.
Yes.
Well, the first thing to remember first thing to think about is what are your goals? Is your goal to increase the number of students you have or to start selling products about martial arts, or what's your goal?
Right. Well, there's always simultaneously two goals, of course, growing the membership, the enrollment at the physical school, but I'm in the process of turning everything that we do into an information product.
Okay.
So that means, curriculum videos, for example.
All right. So the first thing, obviously, in terms of growing membership, there are a lot of offline strategies you can use if you want to talk to me afterwards. One of my very successful clients last year was in the martial arts business, and when the economy was in a dump, his business grew by 30% last year by using a bunch of, offline strategies. And his website, we kept talking about, he never got to it because he was so busy handling the additional membership that he had with his existing program. So that's a different topic. But in terms of information products, the first thing to do is think about what is your marketing funnel going to be. How are you going to get people into the funnel? What are you going to upsell them on first? What are you going to upsell them on second? How do they all flow together? Map them out, and then with the understanding that Rome was not built in a day, write the most incredible free report you can imagine and tell people what they need to do to be more successful in life, in martial arts, and obviously to apply those, to use those ideas, they're going to have to come back and get the next level of information. So that's the starting point. And if you don't have pretty websites to sell already, of course, that's something I, use as the foundation of what I teach my private clients. But thank you for the question. Anybody else have another question?
Dwight has another question.
Okay, we'll take Dwight's second question.
Yeah, because then obviously once I have mastered this, then I envision being able to set up an empire like yours for martial art instructors. Once I've learned to do all of this, then turn around and teach it and offer it to other instructors.
Right. Once you have your marketing system together, you can sell that to marketing to other instructors. Exactly. Most of them, and the key is that most martial arts instructors are disciplined. They're not as disciplined about their marketing as they can be. So
right.
The beauty of your situation is you already understand the need to be disciplined and systematic based on artwork you do. So the trick is to apply that same level of discipline and systemization to your marketing. All right. Well, we've run over and joined the call, but I think it's time to wrap up here, and I'd like to just again thank you all for joining the call. We'll have the audio up in case you want to listen to parts of it again, and we'll be sending an email on how to get that. Again, thanks for your questions and for joining the call, and I look forward to talking with you all next month, and best wishes for the holidays. So, just guys, we're ready to end the call.